being canceled so they can just stay in. 75% of people say there's nothing better than having no plans for the weekend. My wife and I have plans for Saturday. I wonder if she's going to cancel or not. 7 o'clock.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
Let's check the news of the world. Here's CBS.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a mystery over the deaths of actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog. Investigators in New Mexico say their bodies were found in a state of decomposition at their home in Santa Fe, and there were no signs of a gas leak. County Sheriff Adan Mendoza.
The autopsy is going to be key, and the toxicology. But again, in my experience, you know, that could take a while.
CBS's Anna Schechter says Hackman's remains were found in a mudroom.
Seemed he had been walking around. He was wearing sort of casual clothes, sweatpants, according to the affidavit, and detectives felt like they thought he had fallen abruptly himself.
Investigators say his wife's body was in a bathroom with prescription pills strewn about. Another court defeat for the Trump administration's efforts to slim down the government workforce. A federal judge says last week's firings were probably illegal. CBS's Thane Rosenbaum.
The court ruled that the Office of Personnel Management has no authority to implement these layoffs, especially based on some pretense of poor performance.
President Trump and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky are expected to make nice at the White House today after a war of words over the conflict with Russia. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
President Trump says he expects President Zelensky to sign a peace deal that allows U.S. access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals.
The American taxpayers will now effectively be reimbursed for the money and hundreds of billions of dollars poured into helping Ukraine defend itself.
When asked if he would apologize to President Zelensky for calling him a dictator.
We're going
to
get along really well, okay? We have a lot of respect.
New measles cases in the U.S. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Infants in the Seattle and Los Angeles areas, an adult in Frankfort, Kentucky, and three adults in Bergen County, New Jersey have all contracted the virus. All those cases were linked to international travel.
An unvaccinated child died of measles in Texas, where more than 120 cases have been reported. In Greece, demonstrators lob Molotov cocktails and rocks at police in Athens during a mass protest on the second anniversary of a deadly train crash that's become a symbol of institutional failure. He hasn't won an Oscar, but he's making bank.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Dwayne Johnson tops 2025's list of highest paid Hollywood actors. Forbes, Matt Craig.
We have him at $88 million after having two really big movies in 2024, Red One, and then he had a voice acting role in Moana 2.
Number two on the list, Ryan Reynolds with $85 million, then Kevin Hart with $81 million. S&P futures up 21. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The weekend gets going with some gusts. A wind advisory is in effect for today with sustained winds at around 20 to 30 miles an hour. Gusts could be up to 45. The National Weather Service warns that the gusty winds could bring tree limbs down and result in power outages. A terror plot targeting Naval Station Great Lakes was broken up by the FBI. The information about the 2022 case was just released yesterday. The 38-year-old pleading guilty is a naturalized American citizen originally from China. He's admitted to conspiring with people he believed were extremists but were actually undercover FBI agents. The plot was said to be motivated by a desire to avenge the 2020 killing of an Iranian general. You've got a chance to chime in regarding work at Racine Unified. The RUSD board is set to hold a special work session Monday, focusing on updates for several construction projects and the foreign exchange program. Key agenda items include design development updates for Walden 3 and discussions for the Gifford K-8 construction project. No action will be taken during the meeting, but the public is invited to attend and provide comment. And downtown Racine will be thriving this weekend with an event at Memorial Hall. The Racine County Eye has health and wellness on display at the Thrive Expo. It runs tomorrow and Sunday downtown. There's more at RacineCountyEye.com. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
Bucks bury the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Denver Nuggets were coming off a recent 9-game winning streak, but the Bucks held them off 121-112. Milwaukee has now won 5 of their last 6. Bucks center Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I think it shows us who we are. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, but it shows the guys in the locker room what this team's capable of, who we are, and justifies the goals we have.
The Bucks outscored Denver for the first 5 minutes of the final period. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought our fourth quarter offense had pace tonight, you know, 37 points in the fourth quarter. And we're just talking about us not scoring, and today we did it. So we know we can do it. We just can't lose our pace.
So the Bucks head to Dallas now to play the Mavericks tomorrow. College basketball, UWM with a win over Oakland at the Panther Arena in Milwaukee, 71-66. Marquette is at Georgetown, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Baseball, Brewers with a win in Arizona, 12-5 over the Kansas City Royals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be a bit windy today. Gusts from about 35 to 45 likely for a good chunk of the day. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy, a few sprinkles. Temperatures will reach the low 50s by early afternoon, then drop quickly by later this afternoon into tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and colder, 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Bit of a sports fan. My favorite sporting event to watch, the Olympics. It's hard to tell how good the athletes are anymore because, frankly, they're all good, you know? You 10 guys run a sprint and one guy wins, we know he's fast. One guy loses and we go, oh, that guy's slow. Should have worked out harder. I know, that's, you know, kind of a funny thing to say from your sofa. That's why I think every sport in the Olympics needs what I call a perspective athlete. Right in track, you'd have a pink lane going around the track. Right before the race, you just grab some random yahoo from the audience. Come on down here, sir. You're going to run in the pink lane today, representing the rest of humanity. That way the viewers at home can see how fast these other freaks of nature really are. Gymnastics would be hilarious. Gymnastics. Some pink guy on those rings, just shut up.
Rascals Groovin'. Local news, timeless hits, WRJN. It's 7:09. Looking for sunshine today with a high near 53. Right now, the clouds are really taking over. 37 degrees at Radio Park. Well, pretty much anything connected to the Beatles can sell at an auction. A piece of George Harrison's toast from 1963. And this was before they were worldwide famous. Just sold for an undisclosed amount. Now, here's the story behind that piece of toast. A 15-year-old fan named Sue was visiting George's family home. She saw he left a crust of the toast on his plate, and she stuck it in her pocket. George actually commented about the authenticity of this toast back in 1992. He joked, quote, "I ate all my toast. I never left any. I saw a picture of it. It's unrecognizable. It's like under glass, and it's pressed hard. Looks like a few crumbs. They claim it's a piece of toast, but and how do you really know whose toast that is? I guess unless you do a DNA test on it, right? All right. Speaking about George Harrison, he didn't sing too many lead songs for the Beatles, but he did this one early on from the Meet the Beatles album. Don't Bother Me. Here's a young George Harrison.
Since she's been gone. She's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't come around, leave me alone, don't bother me. I've got no time for you right now. She's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't come around, leave me alone, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me.
That's George Harrison, Don't Bother Me, from Meet the Beatles. He probably recorded that around this time that he had that piece of toast. I bet you it was real close to that time. Hey, according to the survey, the average person has 26 items of clothing that never get worn. 65% of people say they have clothing in their closet that still have the tags on them. A personal story. My mom once gave me a pair of green jeans to wear, and I didn't like them. But I took them and said, okay. Well, one day I left them out, and they still had the tags on them like a year and a half later. And she really was hurt by it. She said, you should have told me you didn't like my gift. And she said, you said you liked it. Oh, Mom, I felt terrible. I learned a very valuable lesson then. Never leave the tags on any clothing. Make it look like they're worn. So you don't have to go through that again. I felt terrible. I still feel terrible to this day. 7:14 with the Stones. Get off my cloud. Local news and timeless hits right here.
I live on the palm and on the 99th floor of my block. And I sit at home looking out the window, imagining the world has stopped. And in flies the guys all dressed up just like the Union Jack. Since I've worked 5 pounds of my happiest kind of detergent back.
You're waking up with the Stones this morning. Get off my cloud. 717, local news, timeless hits at WRJN. A group of first graders. These are seven-year-old kids, by the way. First graders in Alabama all got certificates and medals after saving their teacher's life. She had COVID and didn't know it, started having a seizure. They ran and got help. She's doing much better now. 7 years old. We just had that thing about an eight-year-old saving his great-grandmother. Now we got seven-year-olds saving their teacher. I don't think I was doing any of that kind of stuff back when I was in school. I don't think I had the wherewithal to do it. No.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you weren't already aware, there will be a Shrek 5, and it will have a fresh-faced new star in the cast, according to Deadline.com. Zendaya will join the cast as Shrek's daughter. If you're scoring at home, that means she will play the offspring of Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz. Eddie Murphy will also be back as Donkey. Shrek 5 will be the first film in the franchise to hit theaters since 2010's Shrek Forever. The fifth installment is expected to grace our screens Christmas of 2026. The death of Gene Hackman will most likely be talked about for weeks to come in the entertainment business. Hackman and his wife Betsy were found dead in their New Mexico home Wednesday. Hackman quietly retired from acting in 2004 after appearing in the film Welcome to Mooseport. In a 2009 interview with Empire magazine regarding his retirement, Hackman revealed that the straw that broke the camel's back was his doctor telling him his heart could no longer handle excessive stress. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique Spring Shopping Spree. Thursday, March 20th, noon till 4. Shop for spring or Easter. Be one of the first 10 non-resident shoppers and get a $25 pick and save gift card. Take a tour of the newly renovated 1 and 2 bedroom apartments and be entered in a drawing for a $100 pick and save gift card. Sign a 15-month lease and get 1 month free rent. Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Mount Pleasant.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day, Happy 8 Collectibles. Dive into a treasure trove of toys, comics, and everything in between. Every shelf tells a story with vintage action figures, pop culture finds, sports memorabilia, pro wrestling merch, gifts for any occasion. Visit their showrooms on the lower level of Southridge Mall and near entrance G of Gurney Mills Mall. Go to WRJN.com, click the Big Deals banner, and purchase $40 gift certificates for just $12. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
With local news and now timeless hits. WRJN is all you need to keep up to date on news from Racine, Wisconsin and around the world. With Stuart J. Waddles in the Radio Park Newsroom and the statewide resources of the Civic Media Network and CBS, our commitment to keeping you informed is as strong as ever. For 98 years, Racine's source for local news and news from around the world. WRJN.
Comes that rainy day feeling again.
tears, they will be falling like rain.
Fortunes, local news, timeless hits, WRJN. Hey, two old friends are about to get back together. Monday morning, I will share some big news about the reunification that will make for a feel-good summer. All right? Can't give you any hints. They say there's a hint here, but I'm not going to give you the hint. You'll just have to listen Monday morning, 8:30, right here on WRJN. You're going to love it, too.
Here's my story. It's sad but true. About a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town. Keep away from a run around sewer.
Whoa! That's Dion, right around Sue. Local news, Tamless Hits at WRJN 727. It's time for Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. I'm reading the obituaries from an English publication. They include sentimental eulogies from the grieving next of kin. Among the deceased is one Lord Snatch, of whom it is said, quote, he thought he was human. You see, Lord Snatch was not. He was a beloved, dearly departed pet. A pet? A pet. The periodical to which I refer is published for pet owners. In fact, exclusively for the owners of a particular kind of pet. The varieties include silver grays and Norwegian blues, champagne bucks and black cap whites, elegant pets, society pets. The sort one might purchase in the pet sections of London's most luxurious department stores, including Harrods. The human companions of these affectionate, intelligent animals cannot help but become immensely attached to them, and so when their pets pass away, the mourners feel the need to express their grief among fellow fanciers. Quote, I still get a lump in my throat, laments one of the society's periodicals. Another fondly remembers Snore, his champagne buck, as, quote, incurably inquisitive, always exploring the whole house, and yet he never chewed up anything that he shouldn't. Most of this same publication, of course, is more cheerful in its content. Columnists offer advice about feeding, about veterinary care. Readers write in to offer amused descriptions of their pets' activities and idiosyncrasies. These animals have been bred and cherished for quite some time now, but the current breeds, especially the ones favored by society, are descended from a strain bred 150 years ago by a fellow named Jack Black, who was in Queen Victoria's royal employ. Many proud owners of these pets exhibit them almost constantly. The shows for them throughout Great Britain, my dear owner, almost one a week, and the judging is uncompromising. Shape of the ears must be perfect. The eyes must be bold and bright. The coat must be racy and sleek. Even the whiskers must be intact, perfectly formed. The fanciers of this remarkable animal include at least one member of the British royal family. And yet society members come from every walk of life. From the schoolboy to the successful businessman to the elderly widow living on a pension. For you see, the basic attraction of the silver gray and the Norwegian blue and the champagne buck and the black-capped white. The basic attraction is not their physical beauty, but rather their personality, their sociability, and their gentleness. Gentleness, they're wonderful pets for children, I'm told. Malcolm Clarew of Britain's National Society says they are wonderful pets for children, contrary to preconceived notions which date back to the 14th century, when millions of similar creatures engulfed Europe, spreading disease and death. In fact, it was the relatives of these animals, so cherished and admired by so many today, it was their ancestors which caused London's great plague of 1665. For back then, nobody could have imagined that someday, some way, there would be a British national publication and a British national society for the loving, doting fanciers of rats. Now you know the rest of the story.
And we'll have another rest of the story with Dan Marcus, 12:05 this afternoon, right here at WRJM. But right now it's 7:31. Let's check local news. What's going on? Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine County is at full board. The current sitting board members voted this week to appoint people to the open seats on the county board. Jamie Hoffman will serve in the 14th, Troy McReynolds in the 18th. Hoffman is a former Village of Sturtevant trustee and president and replaces Jason Ekman, who resigned in December. McReynolds is a former Village of Waterford trustee and takes over for the seat vacated by Thomas Roanhouse. He left to become interim county executive. A Racine man wanted in a deadly rollover crash that killed his friend has been arrested. 34-year-old Alexander Nieves was injured during the November crash in Franksville, so he went to the hospital. He was charged with several offenses, including homicide by intoxicated driving. He didn't show for court after that hospital visit, but was found this week at a home in Racine. 47-year-old Ryan Gaddy of Kenosha died in the crash November 18th. People living in one Racine County community are about to pay more for pipes. Caledonia residents are facing a nearly 12% increase in sewer bills starting on the 15th. The village board this week approved an ordinance amendment raising the quarterly service charge to $190. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Targeting avian influenza and in turn protecting our dairy herd. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Actually, it's probably designed to protect far more than poultry and dairy. USDA has pledged additional financial support in the tune of $100 million to make sure that they are continuing the battle with the ongoing avian influenza outbreak. One of those that's happy to see it happen is Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. She said that Iowa has already lost millions of birds to avian influenza, and she worries about the financial security of farmers that would be impacted.
That transmission is now happening not just within the buildings of some of these facilities, but then we also see a spread now to dairy herds and transmission to people. So we've got to figure this out, and we have to make sure that there's research behind it and proper science to help inhibit that spread.
Iowa Senator Joni Ernst speaking to the $100 million commitment that USDA has pledged to support poultry producers that are impacted by avian influenza and also work towards trying to figure out new means to protect against high-path avian influenza. Markets and overnight electronic trade rolling into a Friday trade session. Grain looks pretty good right now. Numbers are next.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained a penny at 180 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged, while AA butter gained a penny, 234 and a half. This morning, December corn's unchanged at 462. November soybeans are up a penny at 1043. Right now, July wheat's up a half, 577 a bushel. The March Class 3 milk that goes into cheese and nickel stronger right now at 1905. The April milk down a dime at 1850 a hundredweight. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
It is going to be a bit windy today. Gusts from about 35 to 45 likely for a good chunk of the day. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy, a few sprinkles. Temperatures will reach the low 50s by early afternoon, then drop quickly by later this afternoon into tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and colder, 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
I'm wearing contact lenses now. I got glasses when I was 10 years old. When you're 10, people put things on your face. You just leave it there. But I thought I was getting glasses because I couldn't tell what my parents looked like. Whenever I'd ask my mother for money, she'd say, "What do I look like, a bank?" When you're 10, your parents are the bank. If I'm 10 years old, I can't walk into Capital One. The teller's just going to say, "What do I look like, your mother?" So I had glasses at 10. raises a 12. When you're thinking about talking to a girl for the very first time in your life, you want as much corrective apparatus on your head as you can get. I said to my parents, why stop now? Let's get me a hearing aid, orthopedic shoes. I want to look like I got a lot of doctors in my life.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
And let's say hello to my good buddy, Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Don.
Okay, we got the Academy Awards on Sunday, but before we get to them, we have one new release coming out this weekend. What is it?
That's right. It is a good one. It is called Last Breath. It's a PG-13 drama. It's from Focus Features. Woody Harrelson stars in this one, and it's based on a true story that follows this group of seasoned deep-sea divers, and they're battling these raging elements at sea to rescue one of their crewmates that's trapped hundreds of feet below the ocean surface. It's a good one. We had this as our mystery movie this past Monday. This is the program where people pay $5. They don't know what movie they're going to see, but they get to see an early sneak peek of a movie. This was the movie Last Breath. Everyone came out of the theater and loved it. They said they were on the edge of their seats the whole entire time. So Last Breath would be a great one if you're looking to see a new movie this weekend. And I will let you know that if you're interested in the mystery movie program, next Monday, March 3rd, we have another one coming up. So it's 7 p.m. It's rated R. It's only $5. And that's all we're going to tell you. But it's a great way to see new movies often. And we know which movies they are beforehand, but you don't, and they'll be good. Okay, yeah. That's all we can tell you.
Well, back in the 60s and 70s, they used to have what they called sneak previews. And they used to show a movie. You didn't know what it was going to be. And I remember one of the sneak previews was Funny Girl with Barbara Streisand. They just wanted to get audience's opinion on it before it came out. Oliver was another one. Big musicals. These are sneak previews. But they now you do the mystery movie, which is kind of just like that. All right. We got the Academy Awards on Sunday every year. Brett and I talk about our picks to click. Now, in all fairness, I'm going to go see two of the nominees for Best Picture this weekend. Tomorrow I'll see Conclave and The Brutalist. And I've seen a couple of others that are on that list. So I'll see a lot of them, but not all 10. Let's start with Best Animated Movie. That's the top of your list here. We've got Flow, Inside Out 2, which is the second highest grossing animated film of all time, I think. Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit. They're always in there, Wallace and Gromit, every year. And The Wild Robot. What's your pick?
Well, I'm going with Flow. Wild Robot is the favorite. Flow is this Latvian film. They're an underdog. It's a very low-budget movie. Interesting fact, there's not a single deleted scene for this movie because they didn't have the budget, so every single thing they did had to be pumped into whatever was going on screen. I'm going to Flow. It won the Golden Globe, and I'd love to see those guys, the underdogs, up on stage. So we're going to Flow for Best Animated Movie, although The Wild Robot is the favorite.
Was it ever shown in theaters?
It was. I mean, you had to look around, but it was there and then it was not. But it didn't have as high a profile, of course, as Inside Out 2 or The Wild Robot or some of the others.
Now you see it, now you don't. Okay. Yeah. Best Adapted Screenplay. Now, there's a lot of big movies here. A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, Sing Sing, Divine G, and what do you pick?
I'm going with Conclave on this one. I think it has momentum. There are a lot of good picks in here. Nickel Boys was a tremendous novel, best-selling novel. A Complete Unknown is a great story. But I'm going with Conclave because I think it's got the momentum right now.
Okay, now that's usually they base it on a novel or something like that. Then they have original screenplay, which is something written direct for the movies. Anora, which I heard the description of. It sounds like something I might want to see. The Brutalist at Real Pain. That's what I'm called usually. September 5th, The Substance. And let me turn the pager thing. See if I got one more on here. Nope, that's it. All right, so who do you pick?
I am going with Anora, written by Sean Barker, who actually directed it. Sean Baker, who actually directed it as well. A really quirky story here. And I think this impractical comedy drama should get rewarded for its uniqueness. So we'll see. I think a lot of these have a chance. I mean, you've got The Brutalist or A Real Pain, which is also in the conversation. But I'm going to go with Anora. And I think it might be a battle between those two screenplay winners that I predicted for Best Picture, which we'll talk about later as well.
What is that about again? Do you know offhand, Anora?
Oh, Anora is about this woman. She's a street worker, kind of like a prostitute.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's in New York, and she marries just real quickly. There's a quick wedding between her and this big Russian oligarch's son. And when they find out about that in Russia, they send people over to annul the marriage, which leads into this whole array of comedy and chasing and all kinds of kind of goofy, unique stuff. So that's the movie, and directed by Sean Baker. It's very good.
And September 5th, I still want to see. That's a story about ABC Sports covering the Olympics. And little did they know, one of the biggest stories of the century they would be covering. And that's when the Israeli Olympic team was taken hostage. And so Howard Cosell was there covering that. I mean, what are you going to do? You got your sports team there. Who knew that was going to come down the pike? So I want to see September 5th eventually. Best Supporting Actor. Got a whole bunch of people here with names I can't pronounce, like Yuri Borisov for Nora. I guess he's the oligarch, right? Kiernan Culkin. Edward Norton, a complete unknown. He played Pete Seeger in the movie. Very good. Guy Pearce, the brutalist. Jeremy Strong, the apprentice. Who do you pick here?
Well, the oddsmakers will tell you it's between Edward Norton and Kieran Culkin. I'm going with Kieran Culkin
really? For
A Real Pain. And this is interesting because there's controversy because he's on screen for 65% of the movie. That's just shy of Jesse Eisenberg, who's in about 70% of the movie. And some people think he should have been in the best actor category because is it really supporting if you're in 65% of the movie? But Kieran Culkin is my pick, and he seems to be the pick that the odds makers are kind of slanted to as well.
Jesse Eisenberg wrote the movie as well. And wasn't he in these teenage movies like Superbad and all those kind of movies at one time? Now he's writing Oscar-nominated films. Huh.
Yeah, he was in a few, but remember, he was in, The Social Network as well,
which
was a tremendous film. So.
Yes. Okay. Best Supporting Actress, Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown. She played Joan Baez in that film. Ariana Grande, Wicked. Oh, excellent. Felicity Jones in The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini. For Conclave, she's been in a lot of movies over her career. Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. Who are you picking here?
This is the one award that I think Emilia Perez will take with Zoe Saldana. Her performance was great. Now, there's also some controversy here because she's in quite a bit of the picture, and people have argued that she's really not a best supporting actress in this movie, but we'll give her the award for this one. Zoe Saldana, great performance. I really didn't care for the movie all that much. Didn't quite understand why they made it, why the movie was a musical in the first place. But I think her performance will earn her the Oscar.
That's like Joker, the Joker movie. They made a musical out of it, and people said, come on.
Yep.
I mean, there's musicals and there's musicals. I'm surprised Ariana Grande is in the best supporting actress category, too, because she's in the whole movie, Wicked.
That's right. This was a year where you can look at best actor and best actress and best supporting for both of those and think, why was people in either or category?
All right, coming up in just a moment, we've got the best actor, the best actress, and the best picture of the year, according to Brett Hoffman. This is not the you're not an Academy voter, right?
I am not an Academy Award, unfortunately.
All right. Well, hang in there. All right, talking to Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters, and we're also going to talk about some of the films from Gene Hackman that you may not have heard about that are available. You can still watch them streaming, or if you still have DVD or, God forbid, VHS, which I still have all my VHS movies and beta movies, you can catch some of them. And also, we're going to talk about the Razzies as well, which are held the day before the Academy Awards, the worst pictures of the year. We'll find out what we think about him. 7:46 here at Local News. Timeless Hits, WRJN.
The Senior Companion Program brings seniors and volunteers together for all the best reasons.
My name is Julia Brinkerhoff, and I live at Elizabeth Gardens in Racine.
My name is Lori Radowin, and I'm a volunteer for the Senior Companion Program.
I met her at Walker Manufacturing years ago. I believe this was her first job.
And as a volunteer, the time commitment really isn't that much.
She comes once a week, and we play Scrabble.
Oh, the highlights of my week are listening to Julia's 99 years of experience on this earth. Oh, it's well worthwhile. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's up to you if you'd like to add more than 1 hour a week.
To become a Senior Companion volunteer, call 262-898-1941.
Lee's Deli is your go-to for fresh signature subs and chef salads in Racine. Find them at Twins Food Mart on 16th and Packard, Elite Mini Market on Washington Avenue, and Taylor Mart on 1813 Taylor Avenue. Hosting a party? Convenient pickup and catering from our Washington Avenue shop make game day party trays a hit, even with a few hours' notice. Kickstart your healthy new year with your favorite sub in a gluten-free wrap or in a bowl to suit any dietary need. Lee's Deli, proudly serving Racine in 2025, one meal at a time.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir, pivots, fades, flips, good again, just outside the left elbow,
here,
goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, the Academy Awards are Sunday night. Remember that the Oscars used to be on Monday night? Remember that years ago? It was always on a Monday night. And when Woody Allen was nominated for Annie Hall, he didn't attend because he performed in a jazz band, a Dixieland jazz band, on Monday nights. And he said, I can't go. The band's got a gig Monday nights. And he never attended for Annie Hall, even though he won. Isn't that strange? All right. Brett Hoffman is here from Marcus Theaters. We're down to the biggies. Best Actor. Now we have Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. What are we doing here? What's your pick?
All right. This is a close one. Timothy Chalamet, A Complete Unknown. Complete toss-up between Adrian Brody for The Brutalist and Timothy Chalamet. I'm giving it to Chalamet because Brody won for The Pianist back in 2004, I believe, and therefore I'll go with Chalamet that they'll award him this year.
So you're going, he already won one, he shouldn't win at two, so we're going to go with a guy who never won one. That's how you're picking it?
Well, I am, except for the fact that I really liked watching his performance as Bob Dylan as well.
He was great. Yeah.
Yes.
Not only did he look like Dylan, he had his mannerisms, and he sang like Dylan. Mm-hmm. Plus, he had a lot of movies this year, Timothy Chalamet. He was in a couple of films in 2024, and he's on his way. Okay, Best Actress, Cynthia Erivo from Wicked. She played the Green Lady in Wicked. Is it Mikey Madison for Anora? Carla Sophia Gascon for Emilia Perez. I'm in trouble with these names. Demi Moore with The Substance, and Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
Like many, I'm going with Demi Moore. She won the Golden Globe. She's been winning awards. I think this is not only a tribute to her performance for The Substance, but actually her body of work throughout her career as well. And it will be wonderful watching her acceptance speech if she wins, which I'm predicting she will on Sunday.
But should they, you know, they did that with John Wayne with True Grit. They said, well, you know, he'd probably never have a role like this again. Let's give it to him before he dies. But that's not how you should do it. I mean,
Demi's performance on The Substance is great.
Okay.
And I think the travesty is that the movie was actually in and out of theaters very quick this past fall. And I think luckily this is giving people a little more reason to go see this kind of horror thriller film that she starred in.
Okay, best directing. I'm going to trouble with some of these names. Here's Jacques Audiard for Amelia Perez, Sean Baker, Anora, Brady Corbett, or Corbett for The Brutalist, Coralie Farget for The Substance, and James Mangold for Complete Unknown. Who are you picking here?
All right, Sean Baker, Anora. He did a great job here. He actually won the Directors Guild Award a week or two back. And here's the deal. In the 76-year history of the Directors Guild Award, only 8 winners have not gone on to win Best Director at the Academy Awards. So I'm going with statistics here, and I'm going with Sean Baker for Anora.
Okay, here it is. Best Picture. Just like the Oscars, we save it till last. Anora. These are all in alphabetical order, by the way. Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. What do you pick?
All right, if you had to ask me in November, I would have said The Brutalist. That was before I saw the movie and before award season played out. Here's the deal. I'm giving this one to Conclave. It has the momentum. It is currently not the odds favorite, but what I've noticed is it's usually the picture, just like in a horse race, that's sneaking up at the end that has that right momentum to win. And audience has got a rare treat with Conclave. It's a 90-minute PG thriller. You rarely hear those words on screen. A 90-minute PG thriller up for best award, and that's why it's my pick. I could see it going to Anora. That's getting talked about again. The Brutalist was the favorite, like, way before it was even released. It's a great picture. That's an interesting story, that the picture I'm predicting to win, Conclave, is 90 minutes, while The Brutalist is 3.5 hours. So that shows you the wide range we have. But I'm going with Conclave this year.
Boy, you're picking these like a horse race. And now, coming up, it's two lengths behind
right.
Conclave. It's coming up on Brutalist. I mean, it's like a horse race with you. Okay, I didn't see a lot of these. I saw Complete Unknown. I saw Wicked. I will see Conclave and The Brutalist this weekend. So I'll see two of the movies you think are in the running to win. Yeah, it's something tells me I'd love to see Wicked. I know it's not going to win, but I'd love to see it only because I love musicals. And I wanted to see more of them come to the big screen. Oh, it's making money, though. Wicked Part 1 made a ton of money. I guess that's where it all comes down to. Okay, we've got the Razzies now. The Razzie Awards come out the night before the Oscars. These are the Raspberry Awards. You know, giving somebody the raspberries for worse this and worse that. We're not going to do actors and actresses because I think that's cruel to do that. But we'll do Worst Picture. And these were their nominees. Borderlands, Joker Folie d'Or, Madam Webb, Megalopolis, and Reagan. What are you picking for the worst one of the year?
All right. I'm in the business of trying to get people to the movies.
I know,
so that's the reason. That's the reason, though, why I'm picking. And here's my...
Hold on. You can do it like this. What was the biggest disappointment this
that's
year?
That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you the biggest disappointment was Joker Folie d'Or, and that's why I would put it in this place, because the first Joker... its first weekend made $96 million domestically, went on to make $335 million. Joker Folie d'Or only made $38 million this past fall in its open and just returned about over $50 million at the box office. I can tell you this much. No one was looking for a courtroom drama musical when they were looking for The Joker 2. At least the audience wasn't. Now, the filmmakers, they had their own vision. And I just think that's why this fell flat. So the biggest disappointment of the year for me was Joker Folie d'Or, which is why I'm going to give it my pick for the Razzie this year.
You know, and I like what you said, my job is to get people's butts in the seats, not to scare them away. Okay, Gene Hackman passed away. It's still a mystery what happened. His wife, he passed away. One of his dogs was found dead in the house, too. They were decomposing, so it's been a while that he was in this house. He lived in New Mexico, where he retired, wrote books, and helped community theater and things like that. Looking back at his career, everybody's just talking on the news about the two big movies, The French Connection and Unforgiven. Those are the ones he won the Academy Award for. There are a lot of them. I'm just going to go run over some of these. His last movie he made with Ray Romano was called Welcome to Mooseport, and I kind of like that movie. He made Runaway Jury, Behind Enemy Lines, The Royal Tenenbaums, a lot of people liked. Heist, Heartbreakers, The Mexican. My aunt and uncle are in that film, by the way. The Replacements, Enemy of the State. He made an animated film called Ants. Looking at some of the movies here. The Birdcage, Get Shorty with John Travolta, Crimson Tide. What a great movie with Denzel Washington. The Quick and the Dead he made with Leonardo DiCaprio. I like the clip where they're showing. And he says, he's talking to Leonardo DiCaprio. He says, I never want to see you stare me down like you're doing right now. I love that line. He was in Wyatt Earp. He was in The Firm with Tom Cruise. Of course, Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. Class Action, Narrow Margin, Postcards from the Edge. Kind of a rare comedy for him. Looking at Mississippi Burning. What a great movie going back to the days of segregation in Mississippi. Oh, I love that film. Another Woman. I think that was a Woody Allen movie, if I'm not mistaken. Bat 21, No Way Out. The Superman movies. He played Lex Luthor. Hoosiers, another great movie that he was in. I'm just going to go thumb through the list here. He was in Two of a Kind with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. He played the voice of God in that film. Eureka, I remember that. All Night Long with Barbara Streisand. March or Die, I remember that. A Bridge Too Far, he was one of like 1,000 actors in that movie. Lucky Lady, which was, I think, the sequel to Funny Girl. Of course, The French Connection, Bite the Bullet, Night Moves, Young Frankenstein he was in. The Conversation, another great movie. The Poseidon Adventure, Prime Cut. He was on Ronan Martin's Laughing TV show. I can't picture that. The Hunting Party, Doctor's Wives, I remember that. Here's one of my favorite films he was in. I saw it in theaters with my mom and dad. I Never Sang for My Father with Melvin Douglas. Marooned. I was at the premiere week of that movie at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York City. They had the big premiere in 1969, and we went the day after its world premiere to go see Marooned. Downhill Racer, Gypsy Moths. I have that movie. I love that. Good movie. Just a great bunch of films. And, of course, you can't talk about Gene Hackman, not mentioning Bonnie and Clyde. He was in Hawaii, the big roadshow movie. You have any favorites from Gene Hackman?
Oh, of course. There's so many. You mentioned The Firm. You mentioned Unforgiven. You mentioned Enemy of the State, which I thought later in his career was just a fun movie with Will Smith. Here's the thing about Gene. He could play any role. Think about it. He was in Westerns. He was in comedies. He was in sports movies. He was in action movies. He really could play any role. And that was what was so great about him. When you think about, and he was great as either the protagonist or the person you kind of didn't exactly like, but kind of loved to hate, like the submarine captain in Crimson Tide, you know, and those things going on. He was just so good at everything that he did. So take a look at that list and take a look at it. And I mean, just watch a movie like The Birdcage and then Crimson Tide back to back and see, just look at that range that he had. And it was so spectacular. And he was one of a kind and definitely deserved the 2 Oscars that he did earn.
I still love him as the crooked sheriff in Unforgiven. He was so good in that movie. He's good in everything he's in. They called him the everyday guy because he wasn't a handsome looking guy, you know, like Tom Cruise, handsome type. He's just an everyday guy. He looked like the average guy on the street, balding and, you know, just an average guy. He was good. Gene Hackman, we'll miss him. And his last movie I still like, Welcome to Mooseport. I think I have that on DVD, Welcome to Mooseport. I got to check with Ray Romano. Very funny film. All right, my friend, we'll see what happens. We'll have the postmortems next Friday to see how you did with your Academy Award picks. And don't forget, you can see some of those Oscar-nominated films for Best Picture. This weekend you're playing it on Saturday. And is it Saturday and Sunday or just Saturday?
Well, yeah, all this weekend we'll be bringing back movies. So go check them out. Go to marcustheaters.com, and you and I will talk about the aftermath next week.
The aftermath. Okay.